So I've been trying to have conversations with people like yourself who were, there in the thick of it during the 50s and early 60s. So most of the questions that I have for you are kind of related to that.
I was 15 and a half. I mean, I started very, very young. And of course, then I had Lollipop. First, I had Dim Dim the Lights by Bill Haley in the Comets, and then I had Lollipop very soon after.
Do you remember when you first became aware of rock and roll? Like, what was the first rock song you ever heard, or when was the moment that you were like, this is something I can do?
Well, when I was a senior in high school, we had dances and things like that. I went to Lakewood High School in New Jersey, and I remember going to some of the dances. We went with a couple of girls, and then you'd see if you knew any of the boys, and then you'd dance with them. But I was very overweight at the time, but I was quite pretty, but very, very overweight. So now I'm a size 10. I was about a size 16 then, when I was 17 years old, when I was 15, 16 years old, like that, going into between my junior and my senior year. That's really when I realized how important it is, because when I first came to New York, I was extremely musical. I remember I could play absolutely everything by ear, even though I'd had piano lessons. But I just had the feeling that I could write the stuff. I mean, I just knew that I could. I don't know what gave me that feeling, but I was, the first real experience I had was I had a cousin that she and I were the same age, and we were like sisters. So she lived in the Bronx, and so she and her mother, an aunt of mine, they let me stay in their house as long as I wanted, whenever there was a holiday or something. And so what I would do is, she had a job, actually, so she was a little older than me, so she'd have to go to work. And I would just take all this big pile of half-written, what I thought were songs, and, it just went and stood in front of the Brill Building, right in the lobby there. Have you ever been there?
I've only been outside. I lived in New York for a really short time, and I walked by it, but I never got to go inside.
Oh, well, they fixed it a lot now. I was there with some friends within the last, year, and it doesn't even look the same anymore. They seem to have locked those beautiful golden front doors.
Oh, no.
And now to get in, to go in from the back or something. I don't know why.
That's probably why I never got to go inside. So you would just stand kind of in the front door area and wait for...
Some of the writers who I learned were tremendously big, renowned writers that were mostly guys. They'd stop and they'd say, are you waiting for your dad, or is there anything I can help you with? You need to find somebody. And I look at them, and I had this big pile of half-finished songs under my arm. Now I realize they were half-finished. At the time, they were finished. When I said to him, no, I'm not waiting for my dad. Like, they were writers that all knew each other, I found out later that, in fact, I wrote with some of them later. But at that time, they were really, as soon as I said no, I'm not waiting for anybody or looking for anybody. I'm just, I want to know if you can help me find somebody that will listen to these songs. And I had this big, sloppy, wrapped in a package under my arm, with big, thick, it wasn't really a, now I have fancy suitcases for my music. But at the time, I didn't know that you had to have that. And as soon as I mentioned that, here's this kid, overweight kid. Everyone told me I was very pretty because I have pictures of myself at that age, and my face was terrific. But when you're a size 14 or a 16, nothing's terrific. Boys don't like you. that sort of thing. So I had that that problem, though I was really a student. But I would come several times over the holidays, Christmas, and I would come 6 months later, Thanksgiving, or, I would come, and I would be real comfortable because I'd stay at my cousin's house. It was just like my sister. And then I'd come down during the day while she was gone, had gone to work. And I tried this for quite a few trips from my Lakewood, New Jersey home. But, of course, then I came back and went back to high school and wrote more. And there was a big event in my high school called Sport Night. And what it is we had two teams in high school, the white team and the blue team. So I was a blue. And they were trying to put on, every year they put on a show. And when I heard that they were in the middle of doing the show and they had all this music, but they wanted lyrics to fit the extreme situation socially and sexually and, you know, what was going on in our, when you're a sophomore or a junior. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
and
yeah.
So I had a lot of, the music came very easily to me because it was all around the radio, it was on TV. But I was a really good student and everything, they made me one of the, well, it's very hard to explain, but each of the two teams had like 9 or 10 leaders. And so they made me a leader in the blue team. And I got so busy. They wanted this and this song for this little act they were going to do. It was a whole lot of little theatrical things they did. So I took all of those renowned songs, and I wrote lyrics to them. And everyone laughed at the lyrics, and everyone was so excited to learn those new lyrics to a song that was maybe top 10 in the country at the time. But they had Beverly lyrics to it. You get it?
Just customized, right?